Welcome to NACE Clinical Highlights. I'm Dr. Greg Sherman, Chief Medical Officer for NACE. Joining me today is Dr. Rachel Bond. She is the Medical Director of Women's Heart Health and Dignity Health, East Valley in Arizona, as well as Sun State Cardiology, a premier cardiovascular practice in the East Valley. Dr. Bond is the co-chair of the Women in Cardiology Committee, as well as chair of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee for the Arizona Chapter of the American College of Cardiology. She also holds a faculty position as Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine at Creighton University School of Medicine. She's truly passionate about advancing our understanding of cardiovascular disease in women, and I'm very excited to spend a few minutes with her today to hear her insights on women's heart health. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Greg.
I'm glad we could chat for a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I was thinking about, in preparation for our discussion, you know, women's cardiovascular disease. As I was going through my training, we were always taught that women present differently and there is a disparity in the care. But over the last decade, we've had so many advances on our knowledge of cardiovascular disease, our treatments for cardiovascular disease. You know, in my mind, those discrepancies no longer exist, but I'm having a sense that that's not really true. Tell us what's going on with women and cardiovascular disease and where those discrepancies really are.
So you're right to some degree. So we know that really prior to the 1980s, both women and men were having a substantial increase in the number of deaths from cardiovascular disease. And then once the 1980s hit, there was disproportionately lower numbers of death in men compared to women. A lot of that had to do with the advent of angioplasty and medications that were unfortunately disproportionately provided to men and not as much provided to women. And what we noticed is through advocacy with the American Heart Association and through advanced research with the American College of Cardiology and other larger venues, women started to see a steady decline. But most recently, we now see that that decline in mortality has actually come to a plateau. If anything, we may actually even now start to see an increase in the number of deaths from cardiovascular disease. And when we pinpoint who that population where we're seeing this increase, it's actually women, particularly younger women, particularly young women of color. And I think right now what we have to understand is, well, as you alluded to, women do present atypically. That's about a third of the time. And a lot of the reasons they present atypically is because they may have a different pathophysiology when you think about coronary artery disease in particular.
Really? So how can we think about those differences? Where should we go as we're sitting in our practice having a patient who may not presenting with typical symptoms? What should we be looking for?
So first, I think it's important to realize what those atypical symptoms may be. So women may not actually present with that classic elephant sitting on the chest type of pain in terms of an acute coronary event. They may present with more subtle symptoms such as shortness of breath, back discomfort, neck pain, even sometimes fatigue, just feeling ongoing tiredness despite the fact that they're getting enough sleep. Once we realize these symptoms, we really need to have a high clinical suspicion, particularly if they have risk factors, be it family history or even more specifically in our younger population, more pregnancy-related risk factors like preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, or even any pregnancy hypertensive disorders during their pregnancy, for example. If these particular patients also have rheumatologic conditions, we know that autoimmune conditions in particular disproportionately affect women, and we know that those patients are at about a 5 to 10 time increased risk of having cardiovascular disease during their lifetime. So I think for us as clinicians, we have to have a very high suspicion and think it's the heart and hope that it's not by doing more non-invasive testing to really exclude it.
Do you have a sense of why the cardiovascular event rates might actually be going up, particularly in women of color?
I think it's because we're probably, unfortunately, not screening these particular demographics as well as we should. I say that because women of color in particular have a high proportion of elevation in their blood pressure, hypertension. By the time a female African-American is 20, we see about 50% of the population has hypertension. And that's a very common modifiable risk factor for heart disease. And with that, we know that they're at a much greater risk of having a lot of the complications during their pregnancy, like preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, gestational hypertension. I keep stressing these risk factors because these risk factors we know actually place a female at an increased risk of at a cardiac event, not in the far future, but actually the very near future. It's usually about 5 to 10 years after they originally present. So I think that we as clinicians perhaps may have to do a better job at doing this screening, really educating our patients on how we can manage those more modifiable risk factors to make sure that they're optimal.
Fascinating. You had mentioned to me earlier a term that I hadn't really heard called MANOCA. Yes. Can you clarify that for our colleagues?
Absolutely. So MANOCA, which stands for myocardial infarction in non-obstructive coronary arteries, is a term that's been coined in the sense to say that there is a presentation where you have evidence of a heart attack or a myocardial infarction, but when you undergo a coronary angiogram, we don't actually see an obstructive lesion. So there's different types of causes for myocardial infarction, and MANOCA tends to disproportionately occur in women versus men. And different common causes of MANOCA could be anything from a spontaneous coronary artery dissection, also known as SCAD, where you have a tearing in the lining of the artery, which leads to a hematoma, which causes obstruction in the blood flow. SCAD usually occurs during changes in our hormones. So it occurs very commonly during pregnancy or in the postpartum stage or even during our perimenopausal period. So again, high clinical suspicion should be there. Other common causes of MANOCA may be microvascular disease, which we don't typically see as well on angiography. We, of course, could do some provocative testing, but that again requires a high clinical suspicion to even get to that point. Other common causes may be a Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, which we know also disproportionately affects women, where you have a stressor which really increases adrenaline and leads to some strain and stress on the heart muscle, but it could mimic a heart attack, for example. We know that in particular when we think about an acute coronary event, commonly we think about plaque rupture. And women can actually, instead of having a ruptured plaque, may have an eroded plaque. And they may have the same exact symptoms, or sometimes not exactly the same symptoms as those presenting with a ruptured plaque, but it may be hard for us to identify an angiography, and it may require us to do a little bit more either invasive or non-invasive imaging.
I was thinking about that. So not only might the pathophysiology of their disease be different, we need to have a heightened suspicion, but maybe there's some other diagnostic tests that we might consider to document and prove that it is coronary artery disease in women versus men.
Absolutely. And I think right now with cardiovascular disease, it's such an expanding field. We have intracoronary imaging, for example, with IVUS and OCT, which allows us as cardiologists, particularly, which are ultrasounds, to really look to see if there is a dissection flap or look to see if there's a plaque that has eroded. So it gives us that opportunity. We, again, need to have a high clinical suspicion because those intracoronary imaging are not standardly utilized in the procedure room. Or even after the procedure, we may consider the use of cardiac MRI. I think cardiac MRI has really changed the game in terms of really helping us to pinpoint, was there a true cardiac event, or was this more of a stressor on the heart, such as a Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, for example. So I think what really the goal or the understanding right now, the conclusion right now is that with cardiology, using a multimodality imaging approach may be the best way for us to both diagnose but also hopefully manage appropriately our female patients.
And are there any differences in treatment regimens that we're using for men versus women?
So we know that right now we don't have as much data on the best treatment for MANOCA, just because we have a vast array of different etiologies that can cause MANOCA. What we do know is that we need more research out there. What I can say is that for standard acute coronary events, such as myocardial infarctions from plaque rupture, women actually benefit just as equally as much on the same medications, heparin, dual antiplatelet therapies, high-intensity statins, beta blockers, as men do. Unfortunately, we're still seeing that women are being provided those medications less commonly than men, despite understanding that they also seek benefit.
Right. So it sounds really that we as clinicians, at least in the primary care and really in cardiology, all of us, we cannot rest on our laurels and stop thinking that everybody's getting the same amount of attention. Women are not being addressed nearly to the same rate, and they are suffering in ways that they can be avoided if we're paying closer attention and collaborating more for our primary care colleagues with our cardiology specialists, for OBGYNs that are seeing their patients that may be at high risk, recognizing that they are high risk for cardiac events, and we need to address that sooner rather than later.
Completely agree with you. Collaboration, I think, is really the key to help us sort of see the changes in the statistics and the way that we want, the direction we want it to go.
Awesome. Rachel, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me about your expertise on cardiovascular disease in women. I think it's such an important point, and I'm so happy we can get this out to our colleagues and hopefully make a difference for them and the patients that they care for. So thanks so much for spending time with me.
Thank you so much.
If you're interested in learning more about cardiovascular disease, go to our website at naceonline.com and register for one of the enduring activities we've developed. Please like us on Facebook at NACME to be part of our online social media community and get access to other content and programs we share. I want to thank you, our audience, for joining us for this show. I hope you've learned something new that you can bring back to your patients when you go see them at your next office visit. Please stay tuned for other interviews that I'll be doing with our faculty in the future. Thanks so much.